Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring, discover the magic of desert superblooms, learn why these rare flower explosions happen, the science behind them, and what they tell us about our planet. Educational STEM for kids.
Imagine standing right in the middle of Death Valley. You look around and it is just the ultimate desert landscape.
Oh yeah, just completely baked mud, right?
Exactly. The ground is brown, the air is fiercely hot, and there is like dust everywhere. You won't see a single green leaf. It feels like a place where literally nothing could ever grow.
Right. It feels totally lifeless.
But then, almost overnight, that entire endless sea of brown just transforms. It explodes into this massive, brightly colored carpet of wildflowers.
It's amazing.
Millions of yellows, purples, and pinks stretching out so far that astronauts orbiting the Earth can actually see this giant blanket of flowers from space.
I mean, it's easily one of the most spectacular biological events on the planet. When it happens, it just completely rewrites the rules of the desert landscape. It
really does. And welcome to today's deep dive. Today, we are looking at a brand new report from the Discovery Rangers, and it is all about these massive desert events called superblooms.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating report.
Our mission today is to uncover the hidden science behind these magical flower explosions. We're going to look at, you know, the chemistry and the weird weather that makes them possible.
Which is a lot more complicated than you might think.
Oh, for sure. And we want to answer a major question for you today. When we see millions of flowers blooming in the driest places on Earth, does that mean our planet is getting healthier? Or are we just looking at a really rare, lucky trick of the weather?
Well, to answer that, we really have to rethink everything we know about how plants behave.
Okay, how so?
Because a superbloom is not like a normal spring garden. We're talking about a highly coordinated, super short-term explosion of wildflowers, and they all grow at the exact same time.
Right.
In numbers that just completely overwhelm the desert floor. And the secret to how this happens is actually entirely hidden underground.
Yeah, the Discovery Rangers report points out that the desert dirt is actually packed with millions of seeds. But they behave very differently from the seeds you might buy at a garden store for your backyard.
Oh, totally differently.
Because if you plant a normal seed, you know, you water it and it sprouts in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think of these desert seeds as tiny plant babies that are just hitting the snooze button for a very, very long time.
That is a perfect way to describe it. They enter a state called dormancy.
Dormancy?
Right. And dormancy basically means the seed slows its internal engine down like its metabolism to almost zero.
Wow.
Yeah, it's alive, but it just pauses all of its normal growing functions.
Which makes sense, because if a seed woke up on a random Tuesday in the middle of the summer in Death Valley, it would just fry.
It would die instantly, yeah. So that pause is this brilliant survival mechanism. The desert above them is baking hot, so nature basically turns the seed into a biological vault.
A vault, like it locks itself up.
Exactly. The seed grows this specialized armor-like outer shell, and this shell locks in just a microscopic drop of moisture to keep the inside alive.
Oh, that's clever.
Right. And it protects the seed from the extreme heat. It just waits there until the environment is perfectly safe for germination.
And germination is just the science word for when the seed finally wakes up, right?
Yep. It breaks open its shell, drinks some water, sends a tiny root down, and starts to grow.
But the wild part to me is the amount of time they can spend inside that little biological vault.
Yeah.
It's just staggering.
Oh, it really is.
The report notes that these desert seeds can stay dormant for 10 to 20 years.
Yeah. Up to 2 decades.
I mean, think about that. There are seeds sleeping under the desert sand right now that have been waiting patiently since before a lot of our younger listeners were even born.
They're like tiny time capsules. The desert essentially builds up this massive hidden seed bank down in the dirt.
The seed bank.
Yeah, it's basically a savings account for flowers. It ensures that the plant species can survive decades of drought without needing a single new seed to drop from a flower.
Okay, but the report had this one detail about a specific flower called the Las Vegas bear poppy, and it completely changed how I thought about this seed bank.
Oh, the 5% rule, yes.
Yeah, because you would assume that after 20 years of waiting, when a good rain finally comes, every single seed would just pop open and grow at once.
Which would be a terrible idea, actually.
Right. The bear poppy does not do that. Only about 5% of its seeds wake up and germinate each year.
Yeah, and that is just a perfect example of evolutionary biology at work. The plant actually uses chemical inhibitors to control when its seeds open.
Like chemical locks on the vault.
Exactly. When the seeds fall from the parent plant, they don't all get the exact same locks. Some seeds get really thin shells that open easily, but other seeds have these incredibly thick shells packed with strong chemical inhibitors.
So even if the exact same amount of rain falls on two seeds sitting right next to each other in the dirt, they will react differently.
Precisely. It takes a lot more water to dissolve the thick chemical locks than the thin ones. And this staggers the germination over many, many years.
Because if every single seed woke up at the first drop of rain,
And then the desert suddenly got hot and dry again the next day, which happens all the time.
every single baby plant would die.
Right. The entire species would be wiped out. So by staggering the waking process, the bear poppy makes sure that even if one year's batch of seedlings dies, there is still 95% of the seed bank safely locked away in the dirt, just waiting for the next rain.
That is so smart.
Yeah.
But that brings up a huge question. If these seeds are locked underground for a decade or two, what is the specific alarm clock that finally wakes millions of them up at the exact same time to create a super bloom?
Well, it's rain, but a very specific kind.
Right, because my first thought was just, oh, a massive giant rainstorm, like a hurricane dumps water on the desert and boom, flowers.
Actually, a sudden violent rainstorm is one of the worst things that can happen to a seed bank.
Wait, really? Why?
Because the desert dirt is baked by the sun into a hard crust. When a massive storm dumps all its water at once, the soil just cannot absorb it fast enough. It's like pouring a bucket of water onto concrete.
Oh, so it just washes away?
Exactly. It creates flash floods. Instead of soaking into the ground to dissolve those chemical locks, the water just rushes over the surface. It often rips the top layer of dirt away entirely and washes those dormant seeds down into gullies or buries them way too deep to ever grow.
Wow. Okay, so what kind of weather do they need then?
Scientists call it the Goldilocks effect.
Oh, not too hot, not too cold.
Right, and not too violently wet all at once. The rain has to soak deep down into the soil slowly over several months during the winter.
So it's a gentle, steady soaking.
Exactly. Just to give you an idea of the math, a normal winter in these deserts might only bring a half inch to 1 inch of total rain.
Which is almost nothing.
Right, it's barely enough to keep a cactus alive. But a super bloom requires 2 to 3 inches of rain.
I mean, 3 inches of rain over an entire winter probably sounds incredibly small if you live in a rainy city. But for a desert, multiplying your water supply by 3 or 4 times is a monumental flood of resources.
It's massive. And getting that much gentle, steady rain requires a very specific shift in global weather. It's usually driven by something called the El Niño Southern Oscillation, or ENSO.
Okay, ENSO. Let's talk about El Niño because we hear that term on the news all the
Oh,
time.
I do, yeah.
The report explains it really well. It actually starts thousands of miles away from the desert, out in the Pacific Ocean.
Right. A giant pool of ocean water gets unusually warm.
And as that warm water spreads east across the Pacific, it heats the air above it.
Which is where things get interesting, because that rising hot air actually alters the path of the jet stream. You know, those high-altitude winds that steer weather around the globe.
Oh, right. So El Niño forces the jet stream to dip down south.
Exactly. It drags heavy, moisture-filled clouds directly over the southwestern United States. And because it's winter, those clouds bring steady, cool, soaking rain to those normally dry deserts.
And the report mentioned that in the winter of 2025 into 2026, NOAA predicted an 82% chance of a strong El Niño event.
Yes, which sets the perfect stage. You get that El Niño winter, dumping 2 to 3 inches of slow, soaking rain. The water penetrates deep into the hard desert crust. It slowly dissolves the chemical locks on the seeds. The vaults open.
And suddenly, you get something like the famous 2019 super bloom in California's Carrizo Plain. The mountains literally turned bright yellow and purple.
It's breathtaking. The visual of millions of plants germinating together is just this incredible reward for decades of patience.
But, you know, looking at photos of those events, it is so easy to draw a specific conclusion. You see millions of flowers, bees buzzing, butterflies everywhere, small mammals are getting fed. It looks like this ultimate environmental victory.
It really does look like that.
Yeah, but the Discovery Rangers report warns us not to misinterpret this. I mean, if there are millions of flowers feeding all these pollinators, why shouldn't we celebrate that as a win for the environment? Doesn't it mean our planet is healthy and healing?
Well, I mean, it is a huge win for that specific ecosystem in that brief moment. Pollinators get nectar, life thrives, the roots hold the soil in place.
Right.
But super blooms are not a reliable indicator that the planet's overall health is improving. They are a temporary flash. They rely on highly unusual, lucky weather conditions that only align maybe once every 5 to 10 years.
Ah, I see. It's kind of like walking down the sidewalk and finding a $20 bill on the ground.
Exactly.
Like, it's an awesome day. You can go buy ice cream, but finding one $20 bill doesn't mean your bank account is suddenly full or that you're totally financially secure forever. It's just a lucky windfall.
That is a perfect analogy. A super bloom just proves that the desert seed bank survived long enough to take advantage of a lucky rainfall. But the problem is, climate change is actually making it much harder to find that $20 bill.
Because it's messing with the weather patterns.
Right, it's actively shrinking that Goldilocks window we talked about.
The report emphasizes that climate change isn't just about the average temperature getting warmer. It's about the weather cycle becoming extreme and really unpredictable.
The water cycle is becoming deeply uneven. So instead of those gentle, soaking winter rains, the desert is increasingly experiencing much longer, harsher, dry spells. The seed bank gets depleted.
And the soil gets even harder.
Yes. Then, when rain does come, it tends to fall as massive, intense, heavy storms.
Which goes right back to the flash flood problem. The heavy storms hit the hardened dirt, strip the top layer of soil, and just flush the seeds away before they can absorb anything.
Precisely. And even if the seeds do manage to avoid the floods, and they get the gentle rain, and they break out of dormancy, they immediately face a second, often deadlier, climate hurdle.
The temperature.
Yes. Desert seedlings are incredibly fragile in their first few weeks of life. They require moderate warmth to grow leaves and eventually make a flower. And the report highlights a very specific, dangerous temperature limit for these baby plants.
80 degrees Fahrenheit, right? Or about 27 degrees Celsius.
Exactly.
But honestly, 80 degrees doesn't sound hot at all, especially for Death Valley. I mean, people expect the desert to be over 100 degrees.
And it is in the summer. But timing is everything here. If the spring temperatures hit 80 degrees too early in the season, while the plants are still tiny seedlings, the physics of the plant just start working against it.
How so?
While a seedling only has very short, shallow roots, it cannot reach the deeper moisture trapped far underground yet. So as the sun heats the air to 80 degrees, the plant starts to experience transpiration.
Transpiration, that's basically the plant sweating, right?
Exactly. It loses moisture from its tiny leaves into the hot air. And because its roots are too shallow to drink more water from the soil, it loses moisture faster than it can replace it.
Oh no, so the heat literally bakes the water right out of the leaves.
Yes. The seedling just dries out and dies before it ever grows large enough to produce a flower or drop new seeds.
That is such a brutal cycle. I mean, the seeds wait 20 years, they finally get the perfect rain, they dissolve their chemical locks, they sprout, and then a sudden, unseasonably hot spring week just bakes them into dust.
It's heartbreaking. And the report actually documented this exact phenomenon during the strong El Nino of 2023 to 2024.
Really? What happened?
The rainfall was perfect. The seeds germinated. But the background heat of the planet made the desert spring too hot, too early. In many areas, the wildflowers withered before they could reach full bloom.
That's awful.
And the heat causes a secondary problem, too. It speeds up a process called after-ripening in seeds like the bear poppy.
What does that mean?
It means the heat forces the seeds to lose their chemical locks faster than normal, so they might accidentally wake up during a smaller rainstorm that does not have enough water to sustain them.
Oh, so they just waste their chance.
Exactly. So between the heavier flash floods, the longer droughts, and these sudden spring heat waves baking the seedlings, scientists are warning that super blooms might become even rarer over the next 20 years.
Because even though El Nino will keep happening, the way the rain hits and the heat that follows it are just falling completely out of sync with what these ancient seeds expect.
Right. The rules are changing too fast for them.
Well, if the changing climate is already stacking the deck against these seeds, the absolute last thing they need is human beings stomping on the few that actually make it to the surface.
Oh, please, yes. This is so important.
Which brings us to the final and really the most actionable part of the report. When a super bloom does happen, it goes viral online. Thousands of people jump in their cars and drive to the desert to take pictures.
And those massive crowds can cause devastating physical damage to the ecosystem.
Right. I like to think of visiting a super bloom as being a lot like visiting a museum. You know, you look at the dinosaur bones with your eyes, but you do not climb on them.
That is a great rule for life and for the desert. The National Park Service actually has rules called super bloom etiquette to help protect these places.
But people ignore them just to get a good selfie, right?
Thousands of people ignore them. But the absolute most critical rule is to stay on the marked dirt trails. You just cannot step into the flower fields.
Because even if you're trying to be careful, you're doing unseen damage.
Yes. When you step off the trail to get a better camera angle, your shoes are crushing hundreds of tiny green seedlings that just haven't bloomed yet. You can't see them, but you are killing them.
And the report mentioned soil compaction, too.
Right. When you step on the dirt, your body weight presses all the tiny microscopic air pockets out of the soil. And plant roots need those air pockets to breathe and push through the dirt. When you compact the soil, you turn it into a hard brick.
So it makes it physically impossible for future seeds to ever grow there.
Exactly. And the other big rule is you must never, ever pick the flowers.
Yeah, leave them alone.
A flower in the desert is not just a pretty decoration. Its entire biological purpose is to create the seeds for the next generation. If you snap a flower off its stem, you've just robbed the desert seed bank of dozens of seeds.
You're permanently removing them from the cycle, meaning there will be fewer flowers for the next 20 years.
Exactly. Every picked flower means a smaller super bloom next time. Yeah. So stay on the trail, look with your eyes, and leave the flowers attached to their roots.
But, you know, the Discovery Rangers report goes a step further, which I really loved. Because for our listeners who are, you know, nowhere near a desert, there are ways you can actually help support your own local ecosystem right in your backyard.
Oh, I loved this section. Because ecosystem resilience is a global thing. The best way to help the environment in your own neighborhood is to support your local pollinators. The bees, butterflies, and insects that keep the plant life cycle moving.
By planting native wildflowers.
Yes. Native seeds have spent thousands of years adapting to the exact rain and temperature patterns of your specific town or city.
And the report features this fantastic hands-on activity from the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center to help kids and families plant these native seeds. It is a recipe for making seed balls.
Which is such a fun, messy, highly scientific mud project.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And seed balls are an ancient agricultural tool. The recipe is super simple. You need 3 part soil, 1 part compost, and 1 part sand.
Just mix those dry ingredients together.
Yep. Then you add just enough water to make it feel like dough. And you pinch in your native wildflower seeds. You roll the mixture into small balls and just let them dry in the sun for 24 hours.
And the science behind that little mud ball is brilliant. The compost acts as a nutrient-dense sponge. It basically gives the seeds a packed lunch of essential minerals.
Oh, I love that. A packed lunch.
Yeah. And then the hard, dried outer shell of the soil and sand creates a physical barrier. It protects the fragile seeds from being eaten by birds or mice before they can sprout.
So when it finally rains in your yard, the soil ball breaks down, the compost traps the moisture right next to the seed, and the native flower has this perfect, safe environment to germinate.
And you don't even have to dig a hole. You can just toss these seed balls into a patch of dirt in your yard or a community garden and wait for your own local bloom.
And every native flower you grow provides vital nectar for a bee or a butterfly.
Right. By understanding how plants operate and giving them a safe environment to grow, we are actively helping maintain the biological health of our own neighborhoods.
So we started out today by looking at a desert painted in purple and yellow, asking if a super bloom means the planet is healing. And what the science shows us is that a super bloom is this brilliant, fragile response to a very specific set of circumstances.
It requires a massive soaking winter rain from an El Nino.
It requires a slow, cool spring that stays below 80 degrees.
And it relies entirely on a hidden vault of seeds equipped with complex chemical locks, waiting patiently underground for up to 20 years.
They really are a temporary windfall. And while the shifting climate is making these precise conditions harder to achieve, super blooms remain one of the most stunning examples of biological endurance on Earth.
They show us how life adapts to survive in the absolute harshest environments imaginable.
Nature really plays the long game. And that leaves us with a final thought for you to consider today. We just explored how millions of tiny desert seeds can lock themselves inside microscopic vaults, surviving extreme baking heat and decades of drought, just waiting for the perfect atmospheric trigger to wake up and transform the world. It makes you wonder, if a tiny seed holds that much hidden potential in a completely barren desert, what other invisible resilience might be sleeping right beneath our feet in our own backyards, perfectly adapted and just waiting for the right moment to thrive?
That is a great question.
Next time you look at a dry patch of dirt, remember, It is not empty. It is just waiting.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.